I was sitting there after the reading from Gilbron and thinking, oh, I'm working on another talk. Maybe I should give that one. So I was bringing up the other talk, and then I was like, no, go back to this one. And it was like, no. And that's what I was sitting there thinking, and I was like, and then you announced the title. I guess I'm like stuck with it now. So Twilight Zone of Faith. So this might ring a bell. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. It is this area we call the Twilight Zone. Do, 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 right? Some of you may not know it, but The Twilight Zone is a TV show from the 1960s. It was presented by Rod Serling. and it presented weird tales of the supernatural, which were often tinged with social commentary. And people jumped back and forth between the present, the past, and the future. And it was interesting because it presented situations where people are somehow shaken from their everyday existence, and their concept of reality is tested. How many of you remember the show The Twilight Zone? So you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the show referred to this ambiguous area between two stages or conditions where the characteristics of both of those states exist, like the Twilight Zone between night and day. Right? We all know that. And the term itself refers to paradoxical situations that are often dualistic worldviews, like good or bad, love and hate, saved and lost, us and them. And the show often dealt with, the concept of humanity, which was frequently left to the side in the struggle for survival of the characters. We all know that we live in a world of oxymoronic statements, contradictions, and paradoxes are the norm. So just by definition, because I like to be clear that we're all working with the same terms, an oxymoron is a combination of contradictory or incongruent words, such as cruel kindness, jumbo shrimp, and a contradiction, to echo Orwell's 1984, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Those are contradictions. And a paradox is a situation or statement that contains two opposite facts or characteristics that make sense to us, such as a catch-22, where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. The problem with these types of phrases is not the sometimes poetic imagery that comes with them. It's in the base of understanding what is it that someone is trying to say to us. Because of our different belief systems and our different ways of learning and how we've been raised and where the difference between Minnesota and North Carolina, for instance, which I won't hold against you. Except that it rains all the time.
Minnesota? Did you open that?
Oh, no, it's open.
Oh, I thought you had trouble opening it.
No, no, thank you. No, I just set it back down so I didn't do this and get it all over the sound system.
Thank you.
But anyway, it usually goes back to our level of understanding. And in communication studies, we call this concept bypassing, where we're saying exactly the same thing, but we have different intentions and meanings behind those words. And so The truth is, I always think that my topics are going to be so unique and I'm so clever. And when I jump into the research and I start thinking about them, I find that more often than not, it's not unique at all. And in fact, the concept of the Twilight Zone, which to me I thought was very clever, it was, and which has a slight left imagery to it, has also been co-opted by the alt-right religious movement. Which is fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. Unfortunately, this is where the problem lies, because again, we're saying exactly the same thing. We just have slightly in different interpretations. So we are so adherent to what we believe sometimes that we fail to listen to what others are saying when in fact they're repeating the exact same phrases. So the many conversations I've had over these past few months have converged into a few themes. However, the following statements are podcasts or blogs from white nationalist parties. They're from the alt-right Christian movement. And from New Thought, different New Thought centers. I've changed some of the nouns and identifiers, but let's see if you can guess who is saying what. We are in the Twilight Zone. The skies are growing dark. Night is coming, but it ain't over yet. Any guesses? How do we respond to such a culture? One way is we can try to convert the culture to our beliefs and faith. A third one is our new identity and spirit changes our perspective. It gives us courage. Courage overcomes intimidation. Courage overcomes anger and weeps for lost souls. Courage overcomes paralysis and marches forward with intention. This theory is to condemn culture. We can become so separate from it that we fail to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. While we must be separate, we must be consider that we are in the world, but not of it. Another, in trying to conserve the larger culture in a way that we are comfortable and familiar with, the problem is when the church or center tries to become like the world to attract the world to it. We start to want the implications of truth rather than the truth itself. Another, what we need is courage, the courage to represent who we are faithfully, forcefully, but tenderly, with compassion and love to people trapped by an enormous, sinister world system. And It's a great time to be on a spiritual path, because the truth will shine bright like a light in a dark place. When we have God, we have courage. God gives us courage to live out our new identity as the people of God, living out the mission of God, marked by the joy of God. Any of those ring home to you? Do they ring home from how maybe you were raised in a religious institution that's different from New Thought? Or do they resemble things that you've actually heard from this podium? They're mixed. And all of them came under the Twilight Zone of faith when I put it in and started researching. From all aspects of our culture that we're saying exactly the same thing with different intentions sometimes. I remember at different times during my life, I would be in some mundane situation, like right walking down the street or riding a bus on the streets of Minneapolis, or just sitting at home staring out a window. And I would have this overwhelming feeling that I did not belong. That in fact, the world in front of me was so foreign. And in a sense, during those times, I was in my own Twilight Zone. And I often feel like that now, with so many inconsistencies and incongruences that are floating around. Of the many issues that are out there, I'm going to say this. There are two that strike close to home for me. One is focused on women's health and reproductive rights, and the other is the banning of books. As an academic and a woman, I'm offended that my right to read and learn about what interests me is being curtailed. One of my friends posted something on Facebook the other day, a while back now, that reflected both of these issues. And it's a small photograph of a mom and a daughter. They're both white and blue-eyed and blonde hair, and they're wearing aprons. And it's set, and the reason that struck me is because it's set during the late 50s, early 60s, when Rod Serling was on TV. And the young child, and they're making cookies or something, and the child is looking up at mom, and she says, "Mom, what's a contradiction?" And mom smiles lovingly, and she looks down at her and says, "Believing that a 12-year-old is mature enough to give birth, but needs parental approval to check out birth control at the library." So I know that this is my personal and I belief system, and I rarely get into that. But that's the twilight zone for me that I'm living in this cult, in our culture now. And I know that from reading Vedic and New Thought literature that this world is foreign to me because I am human, but spiritual in essence. And still, I sometimes believe that the world is material. And when we believe that, we are wrong. So what does that mean? Amit Goswami, the author of several books regarding quantum theory and spirituality, believes that if we examine the world, and we've all heard this from many New Thought teachers, if we examine the world down to its microscopic level, objects that appear solid as we look at them, like the podium, are actually huge areas of space that they're atoms that are just bouncing around, and solid objects are not really solid at all. They're just manifested imagery that we have created. It's an illusion. And what we see, this, are paths that are left from the moving atoms. Now, all material objects are like that, including our bodies. So everything, every person is a spiritual spark, a small spiritual spark surrounded by atoms swimming in space. We're like fluid, which is very cool if you're thinking of it with your faith, that if we're that fluid, we flow in and we flow out, and we flow in and we affect everything, much like the twilight zone that we live in. So in that way, it's no wonder that there are times where we feel that we do not belong in a world of conflicting messages. And I often feel like I'm a fish out of water, flapping around on the shore, but never finding permanent comfort. And in those moments, the world is not my home. That is the twilight zone for me. I'm often in the twilight zone of faith. Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber, who is an ordained Lutheran minister, and I use her frequently, wrote this recently in her blog, The Corners. It's a little long, but it's very insightful, and I have paraphrased it a bit. She says, "All I know for sure is that this world will break your heart. There is enough sorrow to go around and for everyone to have seconds. But I've yet to find healing in self-pity. I've yet to find healing in isolation. I've yet to find healing in pretending I am not hurting or when I am comparing myself to others. However, I have found healing in eye contact with another person who is in a tender place. I have found healing in those rare moments when I stop filling in the blank about another person. And I have found healing when I have compassion towards myself and others." She continued saying that perspective is a robust tool, and at the same time, just because things could be worse doesn't mean they're not actually kind of lousy. And if you too have times of belief and disbelief, just know that we all come by it honestly. I know for myself, when I feel lost, and it's when those small g gods of this world are trying to convince me that the worst things for me would actually be the best things for me. And we are surrounded on all sides by lies. And most of them are pretty appealing, and I fall for several of them more than I would like to admit. But no matter how convincing it sounds in my ear, when that small God, that small G God, offers, it's never good news. It's just dog whistles for my ego and empty calories for my own insecurities. So here we are in times of war, in rumors of war, a time of great dread and uncertainty for many in the world, a time of fake news and toxic ideology, and commercials about the right drugs for erections, weight loss, and anti-aging creams. We are surrounded on all sides by lies in this world, and I need you, each of you, to remind me that the light of God still scatters the darkness. Sterling wrote about the fate of humanity in From the Twilight Zone, a book of short stories. There is one called The Monsters Are on Maple Street. And in the small community, the power goes out. Everything. And remember, this is before our current technology. This is in the 50s and the 60s. And so it was cars and blenders and TVs and lawnmowers. Everything quit working. And the people blamed and accused each member of the community, from young to old, and especially those who were new or different from themselves. They turned on each other out of fear. In a short amount of time, everyone in the community was either dead or run out of town into the darkness. And these are the final paragraphs of that story. It's from 1960. "Understand the procedure now," the first figure said. "Just stop a few of their machines and radios and telephones and lawnmowers, throw them into darkness for a few hours, and then watch the pattern unfold." "And this pattern is always the same?" the second figure asked. "With a few variations," came the answer. "They pick the most dangerous enemy they can find, and it is themselves. All we need to do is sit back and watch." "Then I take it," figure two says, "this place, this Maple Street, it's not unique." Figure one shook his head and chuckled. "By no means. Their world is full of maple streets, and we'll go from one to the other and let them destroy themselves." He started up the incline to the entrance of the ship. "One to the other," he said as the other figure followed him. "One to the other," and there was just the echo of his voice as the two figures disappeared and a panel slid softly against the entrance. "One to the other," the echo said. So Rod Serling, I don't know if many of you knew this, was a Unitarian Universalist, a UU member. And he fought censorship and racism in real life and against injustice and evil in his work, especially in the TV show The Twilight Zone. And in an interview, Sterling was asked when was the last time he cried. And he said he couldn't remember, but admitted that the urge is there. He concluded, "Before I die, just for the hell of it, one night I'll spend an entire night weeping, and I'll draw up a list of things that will motivate that weeping. I'm now weeping for the following reasons, chronologically, for all the shit that's out there that I should have wept at and didn't." So where does this lead us? Our personal twilight zone gives us a glimpse into those things we need to weep about: fear, pride, prejudice, and injustice. But the question is, where will it lead us now? And will this talk ever end? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. My message today, I guess, is to think, explore, and ask questions. Do not allow yourself to be stymied by fear of others or fear of having less or fear of different faith systems. We're all saying the same thing. It's just an interpretation and misunderstandings. This world is abundant and fascinating. The people of this world, we are brilliant, we are kind, we are thoughtful, we are inspiring. Always remember, unity does not imply uniformity, and allow for differences in your life. And learn to love those differences. It's because only then we can become whole. Laura Jean Truman wrote, "Keep my anger from becoming meanness. Keep my sorrow from collapsing into self-pity. Keep my heart strong enough to keep, keep my heart soft enough to keep from breaking. Keep my anger turned towards justice, not cruelty. Remind me that all of this, every bit of this, is for love. Please keep me fiercely kind." And so it is. Thank you.